or searchsecurity.com. I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for March 5th, 2008. This week, I talked to Peter Bamber, Vice President of IT Security Services at Security Management Partners, about the huge risks he has come across as a result of badly configured networks. And Sun Microsystems launches a governance risk and compliance strategy. But first, signs of trouble for the company behind the popular Snort IDS tool. E. Wayne Jackson, CEO and chairman of SourceFire, is stepping down. Jackson, who has been with the company for nearly 6 years, will stay on with SourceFire until a new CEO is hired. News of his sudden departure came the same day the company announced a net loss of $6.5 million for fiscal 2007. That news came as a disappointment to some industry experts, given the eventful year SourceFire had up to that point. The company went public last year after a planned acquisition by Checkpoint Software Technologies was abandoned, and it acquired the intellectual property of ClamAV, an open-source antivirus project. Jackson, who took over as CEO in June 2002 when company founder and president Marty Resch decided to focus more on the technology side of the business and became CTO, had previously helped found Riverbed Technologies, a maker of wireless products. But even as Jackson ran the company, Resch continued to serve as the public face of the company he started. It was Resch who often spoke at security conferences and industry events, and many in the security community still regarded him as leader of the company. Next, Sun has launched its governance, risk, and compliance strategy with new products and services for identity management, auditing, and compliance. Sun's move into the market directly challenges Oracle, IBM, CA, and others vying for a larger share of the identity management market. Sun is putting less emphasis on technology, focusing on a complete GRC portfolio that includes partnerships and services to address risk. Analysts say the new strategy will be a challenge for the vendor, which has traditionally focused on its open source tools. We'll be back after this.
Mergers and acquisitions are common in today's rapidly changing business market. And before long, M&A activity will almost certainly have an effect on your organization's enterprise security. Don't be caught by surprise. Start preparing today by checking out searchsecurity.com's Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide. Experts like Michael Cobb and Ed Skotus offer advice on how to successfully integrate compliance efforts, merge network security policies, defend disparate web application infrastructures, and much more. Master the policy practices and people problems of post-merger security. Check out the Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide today. Visit searchsecurity.com and search for Mergers and Acquisitions. You'll be glad you did.
Software flaws and exploits researchers disclose on a daily basis tend to get all the big headlines. But a growing number of security consultants say it's become a distraction from a more serious problem. Networks so badly configured and maintained that the bad guys can drive a virtual bulldozer through them without attracting attention. The problem runs the gamut from mismatched applications and hardware, security systems that are put in place but not regularly maintained, to wireless access points that are open with no defenses attached, according to the IT consultants who have seen the problems firsthand. Security consultant Peter Bamber joins me now to discuss the problems he has seen when visiting clients.
Well, it's fairly interesting. It depends upon the type of client, obviously. If they're a regulated industry, such as in banking, a biopharma, or any of the other people that have an ongoing examiner or auditor relationship where they're mandated to do certain tasks, they have a fairly solid process in place, and then they're audited. If they were looking at ISO certification, something along those lines. Obviously, they've built a security management system. But if you look at the unregulated or private industry or corporate America facing budget constraints, et cetera, it's a different ballgame entirely. Still, it's fairly interesting. Going to your basic premise that systems are effectively unprotected because of gross misconfiguration, we are seeing that people are paying attention to the TJXs of the world in those situations, the glamour break-ins, and wondering about their wireless security and their perimeter security, if there is such a thing in this day and age. But they are overlooking the basics, and I don't know whether it's economics or a sense of complacency or if they're just looking at the glamour, if you want to use that term, of the sexy exploits. They're not performing the basics. Whether it's an internal or an external threat, we always promote the idea that if you take those basic steps of patching the systems appropriately, using the proper encryption for password and using the complexity, it goes a long way to mitigating the threats that are out there that we just don't see in place. What it really comes down to is if an outsider or an insider gains access to your network and you're not using firewalls on your hosts, or you're not using the appropriate tools that are out there, or even using group policy from Windows, for instance, which is what we're seeing. All of these things we're seeing where they've built that hard outer perimeter still, which we've been talking about for years, and yet internally they've either cut back on staffing, not provided them the tools to accomplish what they need to accomplish as from a basic configuration perspective. Their databases do not have the service accounts are still at certain default configuration. I mean, there's nothing typically more important than a database to an organization. Their other systems are left in default configurations, which is shocking, allowing our staff, when they're doing their testing, to move from target to target rather easily still. So from that non-regulated industry perspective, that is what we're seeing out there.
So is the type of company, as far as non-regulated, are we talking retailer types of the TJX?
Retailers are an interesting group. We've found over the years that because retail operates so close to the edge financially, meaning their profit margins, it's been very difficult for them to delve into the security market until they've been forced to. And obviously PCI is a big proponent where they're all being required to do certain tests, but those are also, frankly, somewhat basic tests. I mean, people are looking at them from the outside. They're looking at it from an auditor, but there's not a full-scale security audit and assessment of security programs fully underway in the vast majority of them. And the largest ones or organizations that have been hit, there certainly is a situation where they have implemented security programs and are working towards it. But frankly, they look at the bottom line. They aren't staffing the positions still. They're not supplying the tools and, frankly, not hiring the firms from the outside to come in and look at them other than for just basic PCI compliance.
Right. So let me ask you, and this is just kind of to recap and to make sure that I am following you the way that you intend to be followed on these points. So when it comes to things like how you configure your wireless setup, how you configure your database connections as far as what other parts of a network are connected.
Well, even databases, for instance, have service accounts, for example, that give you system-level access, which is greater than administrative access.
Yeah.
If they have a default or a blank or a less complex, easily guessable password, we see that all the time still, and that gives somebody with opportunity and effort an easily attainable goal of taking control of that database,
right,
and then taking everything on it and then moving it to other systems.
And they tend to go for the default settings because it's more about easy access to things than about keeping the bad guys out?
Or it's just unknown because they don't allow their staff to gain the proper training. They're unaware that...
That it's a risk.
That it's a risk. That's the basic premise we're seeing out there, is there are many organizations that, frankly, still have their head in the sand and they're not providing the training to their staff, or they're just looking at it from the nuts and bolts. We need to have a firewall. We need to have IDS. We need to have antivirus. We need to have all these different tools that we've read about, but they don't really understand what the basic setup is, meaning they are all vital. They all are very important. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is most of these exploits still go back to the basic issues that are out there. So, for instance, for example, we had a customer that was hit by a rootkit. Mm-hmm. And the rootkit drew in 5 different viruses. But those viruses were exploiting Windows 2000 systems, missing certain patches. Well, this was in 2007. Well, what we're talking about is organizations that have not upgraded or have not maintained their basic programs. Granted, this was a rootkit, a sexy exploit, a situation where they were hit, but the underlying situation was they were not doing the basics. Mm. And if they had done the basics, that exploit would not have been attainable. It would have been successful. The wireless security out there. Can you do wireless security? Can you implement wireless securely? Absolutely. If you're using proper encryption, you've deployed it correctly, you've tested it, verified it, then your basic configurations on wireless, like your systems that they're protecting, would have protected organizations that have been hit. But even if you did breach the wireless and did get behind the firewalls, and you've taken the appropriate steps of maintaining your systems and configuring them properly, it still makes it extremely difficult for an attacker to go after those systems and attain access, even if they've circumvented the firewall, because you've taken those basic steps of protecting it.
And that'll do it for this week. Remember that the latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.